It's Thursday, the 7th of January, 2016. Happy birthday to John L. Stokes. Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Rennie Roux. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Rennie Roux, very straightforward. Leave a review on iTunes. It is really that simple. Thanks to the couple of guys who have done that overnight. A couple of reviews came in. Someone shortened my name to Jolo. Not sure how I really feel about that, but hey, if that's what you want to roll with, Jolo it is. Yep. Moneyball.com.au is also Australia's best daily fantasy sports site, so make sure you're supporting them. Hope you guys entered their big tournament today. I had a pretty successful day, cashed in all my double ups, and in the tournament as well. I think I had a top 30 finish in the tournament, so pretty good night for me on Moneyball. But there's a lot to talk about. There was 11 games, so Michael Bolton, take it away.
Let's get to it.
Thanks, Mick. The monstrous line of the night. Obvious ones, I think, all battling it out. There was Kevin Durant. There was LeBron James. I went with Anthony Big Tony Davis. He he was back to his best. 26 and 12, 7 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, 11 of 25, and then he went 4 of 5 from the free throw line. For as disappointing as some people may have thought Anthony Davis has been this year, he hasn't really been that bad, let's be honest. He's still averaging 23.5 and 11. 1.3 steals, 2.6 blocks on 49 and 75, and giving you half a three a game. The real drop-off in his game so far this season has come from the percentages, and a drop of 54 from the field down to 49 is a big hit, and 81 down to 75 is also a big hit. I think those two things can improve as the season goes on and get better. Hopefully as his teammates potentially get better. I don't know, that team's just a complete mess, so maybe it doesn't get better. But overall, you took him number one. I'm sure if you drafted him, unless you are in a draft with me, and I never had the number one pick, you would have taken Davis number one, and you're probably a little pissed. But still, when he's like the fifth or sixth ranked player, it's not like he's ranked 20th or something that bad and really, really cost you a little bit. But overall, I don't think you can be too disappointed with Anthony Davis. I'm sure plenty of you have got Anthony Davis. Let me know what you think about having him and how your experience is, how pissed you are that you took him. Would you have taken him again? What are your thoughts on Anthony Davis? I'd like to know some feedback, because on the surface his season seemed disappointing, but when you look at the numbers, they're really not as bad as what maybe you think initially. The waiver wire line of the night: Super Mario Chalmers played 39 minutes because Mike Conley was out. They didn't start him, which was odd to me. Courtney Lee played as the starting point guard, and let's be honest, he's not a starting point guard. He's not a starting point guard's asshole, to be honest. Mario Chalmers played 39 off the bench, went 23, 8, and 9, had 2 steals and 4 threes. I touched on him briefly yesterday, saying, you know what? He was looking okay from a DFS point of view. Maybe there were some extra minutes for him. If Conley didn't play, he'd be a good look. But I didn't expect him to go 23, 8, and 9 and almost triple-double. He's been putting up some very, very nice numbers lately. Now, he started off red-hot when he came to Memphis on the back of unsustainable free-throw production. He's still going at 4.1 attempts per game, which is a career high for him, and at 81%. But his other numbers aren't really ownable. Now, if Conley's out for a period of time, then absolutely you want to go and grab him. It doesn't appear like Conley's going to be a massive long-term injury, but short-term, he might miss another game. So Chalmers, I think it's a folly to think he's going to go 23, 8, and 9 again. But he was always a really good player and underrated to me when he was in Miami, and I think that this is a great opportunity for him if Conley happens to miss a game more or two, and you should get some big numbers out of him in that case. Speaking of big numbers, the young gun of the night, my boy, Yusuf Nurkic. 22 minutes for Yusuf, 15 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 blocks. Yeah, love me some Yusuf Nurkic. He is a guy that I was foaming over last season. Absolutely loved what he was able to do. This year, he's come back. He's played 3 games. He's averaging 10 and 6.7 and 2 blocks. It's pretty impressive in just 14 minutes. His per 36 numbers are out of control, 26 and 17.5 with 5.2 blocks. And yes, I know it's stupidly small sample size, but he is a guy that has always shown great per possession, per minute, per 36-minute fantasy potential. And all we needed him to do was stay on the court. That hasn't been a problem so far this season in terms of fouls. Obviously coming back from injury, but if he's available anywhere, he should be owned. He is the clear best center out of these guys, Nikola Jokic, Joffrey Lavernier. And you'd think that he'd work himself into 27 minutes moving forward. And he proved here he doesn't need 30 minutes. He needs, if he gets 27 minutes, it's fantasy relevant. And I couldn't be happier that Yusuf Nurkic is back and bringing down the pain on opponents. He is fun to watch. He's aggressive. He's funny. He puts up huge stat lines. Let's hope that he stays healthy. Let's hope he stays on the court. Let's hope that Brian Shaw doesn't return and bench him for no apparent reason. Let's just hope we get more of Yusuf Nurkic because he is super, super fun to own and to watch. Dart of the Night is a guy that I'm not all that excited about fantasy-wise, especially 31 minutes for Andrew Wiggins. He went 11-3-1. Didn't hit a three, didn't get a steal, didn't get a block, and then proceeded to brutalize your percentages, going 4 of 14 and 3 of 6 from the free throw line. He has been bad. That's fair to say. 143rd on the season, and that's averaging 20 points, which is really good. Not many guys average 20 points. That makes him still ownable, clearly, but everything else, he just doesn't do anything. Subpar in threes, in rebounds, in assists, in steals, in blocks, in field goal percentage, in free throw percentage, in turnovers. He's below average in every other category. Hurts you in 8 categories. Helps you in 1 and helps you pretty well, but doesn't do anything else. You would hope that this sort of stuff will come to him at some point, but he is statistically, you know, well, fantasy-wise, having a worse year than his rookie season, and that's not something you want. The scoring's up, and his usage is up, and all that sort of stuff, but his efficiency is way down. His peripheral stats are down. He's just not getting it happen at all. He's been a big disappointment. If someone still believes in the name value, I'd trade him away, because I don't see him getting hugely better than that, at least this season. And he was a guy that I had ranked, I can't even remember where I had him in the preseason, about 110, 120, something like that. And because I don't like his fantasy game. It may develop in 2 or 3 years, but at the moment, there's just nothing to love about it. And to be honest, in a 10-team league, the 20 points are nice, but you could stream in 20 points through guys, not with one player, but if you continually stream that spot 2 or 3 times a week, I reckon you could get Wiggins' points back. If you stream that spot in and worked it properly and got, say, 6 games or 5 games out of a streaming spot and Wiggins played 3, I reckon you'd exceed his value in a 10-team league. In an 8-team league, you could definitely exceed his value by doing that. So bear that stuff in mind. As big of a name as he is, not a great fantasy commodity. Whew. Let's get into the rest of the show, looking at these box scores in a little bit more detail. I'll bring up the screen for you guys watching along on YouTube. And remember, if you are listening to this on the podcast, we do a live stream of the show on YouTube each day, which you can watch live or you can watch back later. Oh, you know what? I almost missed something. I'll keep talking about YouTube. You can watch it back later. You can watch it live as it's happening. So I do encourage you to go and subscribe on YouTube as well. I forgot to give the optimal DFS lineup for Wednesday. There it is, up on the screen. At point guard, Chris Paul, 53.3. He was always a pretty solid play, but not, I didn't expect 53 points out of him. It was really a stars and scrubs sort of night in DFS. Mario Chalmers at 49.1. No one could have anticipated he put 49.1 up until we heard Mike Conley was out. Then he was a great option. At shooting guard, J.R. Smith with a solid 36.1 and Devin Booker with 33. Throwing Devin Booker in there, he was real cheap, 3,600, and that's, you know, part of why you'd put him in a tournament. But in terms of, we're going to talk about Phoenix later, in terms of being able to predict what they're going to be able to do, it's almost impossible to do. At small forward, LeBron at 54, Kevin Durant at 51.9. Durant was listed as out yesterday. He played and put up a huge line, so that's obviously, yeah, it pisses you off if you went out there and put heaps of stock into Westbrook because you think Durant was going to be out, and then the next minute he plays and goes huge. If Durant was playing, you would have loved using him. If you knew he was playing, you would have loved using him, so that would have been great. Anthony Davis at 57.9, he was the top scorer in DFS. Big night from him. That was a pretty straightforward one to me, especially when all the Dallas guys went out. The other one, Mirza Teletovic, 35.1, be putting up some pretty solid numbers yesterday. I mentioned that a little bit. Very hard to rely on the Suns, though, so it was hard to look at him in a cash game. But in a tournament, he'd been getting solid run and putting up solid numbers. And at centre, my boy Yusuf Nurkic, 39 points. Again, a real cheap pump play. You hoped he was able to get enough minutes to be productive after a really good showing in his second game back. Turned out he was, and the Timberwolves are massively struggling. The total was 409.4 if you managed to have that perfect lineup. All right, now let's get into these box scores and talk about them. Bring that up on the screen for you. There we go. All right. The first game of the night, which one was it? There we go. It was the Indiana Pacers and the Orlando Magic. George Hill returned from his bout of food poisoning. 16 points for Hill, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and 3 threes. He'd been playing well before the illness and playing well again here, so obviously he's a must-own guy. Paul George, 27-3, 2 steals and a 3. Not his greatest night, but 9 of 9 from the free throw line. Was very nice, and a pretty standard field goal hit that you took with him. And Monte Ellis kept it going. 19-4-7, 4 steals and a 3. I thought the 7 assists that he got with Hill out was a bit of a case of because Hill was out, but still distributed the ball well here. And he, after a real rough start to the season, he's starting to put up, you know, almost Monte Ellis-like lines. Jan Mahinmi, 23 minutes for him, 8-12 with a block. The minutes are going to be hard for him to get with so many other guys around, including Miles Turner, Lavoie Allen, and Jordan Hill, but he's still a guy that I think has a spot in a 12-team league. Jordan Hill went right down here, only 12 minutes, and it's because Lavoie Allen started, I think, and he played 26 minutes with CJ Miles on the bench. Allen went 6-5 with a couple of blocks, and Hill played just 12 minutes for 6-3. If you happen to own Jordan Hill in a 12-team league, with the return of Turner, there's probably someone else out there who's worth looking at, but I don't think that 12 minutes is going to be what he does moving forward. CJ Miles was brutal, 1 of 10 for just 3 points, including a 3, which was his only score, and 2 steals. But if he hits, say, 45% of those shots, 10 points with 2 threes and 2 steals, not a bad return. Not a must-own for 10-team leagues. I reckon you can probably find someone else. You might not be able to, depends on your league. In a 12-team league, I'm still probably holding on to CJ Miles. On the Magic, there was no Lord Alfred Payton, so Victor Oladipo ran the show again and looked good. 41 minutes for Victor, 25-3, 4 threes, a steal, a block, big percentages, definitely turning it up a notch. It's great for his owners who suffered through the first month and a half, 2 months of the season, getting things going. It is Scott Skiles, though, so who knows if that is going to change, and the value of all these guys is volatile. Nick Vucevic back in the good graces, 17-4, 2 steals. Not a great rebounding night, but at least he played 33 minutes. And Evan Fournier got 36 minutes and went 13-3-4 with 3 steals. Aaron Gordon didn't get the 25 minutes back, even with Jason Smith out with an ankle problem. 8-8 for Gordon in 16 minutes with a block, and that's not bad. I would still hold if you've got the ability to hold in a 12-team league and see where this takes us, because let's be honest, Andrew Nicholson shouldn't be getting 23 minutes. Toby Harris, really struggling, 6-3-2 on 3 of 12 shooting. Nothing that means he needs to be dropped or anything like that, but he has some big nights, and he's interspersing it with a lot of stinkers. The next game, the New York Knicks and the Miami Heat. Mallow, 25, 5-4, 2 steals, and just massively efficient, 9 of 12 from the field. I talked about it yesterday, I think, that his field goal percentage trends up throughout his season. Each month it gets better. I don't think 75% is a realistic target for January, but a big night there. And Robin Lopez is really firing at the moment. 19-4, 35 minutes, 2 blocks, 9 of 12 from the field. It has to be owned everywhere. This is about 5 or 6 strong games in a row from him. Might not last, but it's happening at the moment. Jose Calderon, 35 minutes. He's also getting just stacks of minutes lately. Not a great night, 9-5-2, but a steal and a 3, and the minutes are what you really like there. And he can give you 5 assists, and he can give you a steal and 1.5 threes. And that's worth holding on to for me. Kristaps?
Percentages.
12-4 in 31 minutes. 2 blocks. Not a good shooting night. Still the 6 of 6 from the free throw line. And that's going to plague him, the field goal shooting for this season. But still, 2 blocks is really good. And you love that free throw bump, so not a bad night. And Aaron Aflalo, after being out of control the last 2 games, played 40 minutes and scored 9 points. And again, the problem with Aaron Aflalo is highlighted. Doesn't score, and then not much else happens. 2 rebounds, a steal, and a 3. Just doesn't contribute in other areas. I'm never going to own him in a 12-team league, I'm pretty sure. You can own him, but you're going to have to go with the fluctuations. The problem to me is that it's 2 good games, 7 bad games. And that's really hard to... If you can predict when the 2 good games are going to happen, pick him up. But if you knew that, you've got a Gray's Almanac or something along those lines. The Miami Heat. Hassan Whiteside was back. He played just 28 minutes, not his greatest night. 8-8 for a block, and Chris Bosh made 28 points on 12 of 22 shooting. 5 rebounds, a 3 and a block. Really, really turning it up at the moment, Chris Bosh. Dwayne Wade, 18-6-6. A pretty solid night from him. You love the 8 of 16 from the field. And not a lot else to really like from the Heat, to be honest. Luol Deng is not good. He's not a 12-team league guy to me. Goran Dragic dropped off 10-2 with just 1 assist. Not his greatest night. People do get swayed by a lot of things. If someone owns Goran Dragic and they don't listen to this podcast, they'll remember the raft of stinkers that he had to start the year. This is another shit game. Now's the time. Hey, do you want to trade me Goran Dragic? Send your worst player on your roster. Send your second worst player. Because he's been better than that lately. He's been probably a seventh or eighth guy on your roster. But if you send your worst guy now, when the start of seasons always affects people. He was shit for a month. Throw a bad player when he has a bad game and see if it works. It's a little bit of psychology. It might not work, but there's a chance that it does. So just that's something to keep an eye on, because the overall thought is Goran Dragic is terrible. Goran Dragic is terrible, but he's been a little bit more improved lately, and he's got a little bit of upside if Dwayne Wade happens to go down. But his performance hasn't been great, but it's been improved over what we saw in the first 3-4 weeks of the season. The next game, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Washington Wizards. Big win for the Cavs. LeBron, 34-10-4, 4 triples, a steal and a block. A good night from him. He'd been a little bit quiet lately, and it's obviously great for his owners. J.R. Smith, that now makes 13 triples in the last 2 games. He was 10 of 16 from the field. 25 points, 5 threes and 3 steals. You have to own him while he's playing like this. And it looks like that Mo Williams has been phased out of the rotation completely. So Smith, Irving, Shumpert and Dellavedova basically are the guards, alongside Kyrie Irving. Big minutes, not big minutes. I think 30 is probably where Smith will top out on most nights. But once he's hot, you own him. And he does have ability to get some assists and get some steals at times. Kyrie, 32 points in 34 minutes. 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 1 3. This is why you owned him. This is why you drafted him. This is why you suffered for the first 6 weeks, 7 weeks of the season. Because he's great. He's a top 15 player, and he'll probably be a top 15 player for the rest of the season. Kevin Love, on the other hand, wasn't so good. 8-9 for him, 2 steals and a block. We were always going to see him regress when Irving came back. Hopefully this isn't a sign of the level of regression, but it's more like a bad game, and he'll be a little bit better next time, hopefully. Tristan Thompson has definitely got this starting center job locked in for the time being. 36 minutes for him, 5 for Mozgov. 12-3 for Thompson, so not his greatest night, but he's a 14-team league for sure, and a 12-team maybe, depending on what sort of stats you need. And his stats are going to be rebounds and field goal percentage most of the time. Dellavedova, 3-4-4 in his 28 minutes. Interesting that Williams has been phased out completely. On to the Washington Wizards. Otto Porter, 12-7. He had 2 threes, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. A big night from him. And Garrett Temple finally got things going. 7 of 10 for Temple. 21 points, 3 threes, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. Now, the fact when he was scoring 4 points a game, that's more Garrett Temple than going 7 of 10 and scoring 21. He's not someone that I want to own in 12-team leagues. In 14-team leagues, yes. John Wall, 23-12, a steal, and added 4 threes, which is very un-John Wall-like. Had 7 turnovers and missed both his free throws, so a few negatives there, but overall, a pretty solid night. And Marcin Gortat, 12-6, not his best outing. Jared Dudley, 12-5-4, 2 threes and a steal. Just continues to get decent minutes as the starting power forward. Played 35 in this one. He's probably not a 12-team league guy, but I can understand why you would own him in a 12-team league. Ramon Sessions' stretch of decent games came to a halt with Gary Neal returning. Played 16 minutes only session, but still gave you 6 assists. If he's going to be getting 16 to 20 minutes, it's not the same as 27 minutes. And his value is going to evaporate from DFS and from seasonal standard size leagues. We had Nene return, fantastic, 12 minutes for him, 7-4. And Kelly Oubre was reduced down to 10 minutes with Gary Neal returning. So if you added Neal in a 12 or maybe in a 14-team league, hoping that his upside would force these other guys out of the rotation, didn't happen here. He played almost the same amount of minutes as Jarrell Eddie. So I'll take that for what it's worth, unless you're a massive Jarrell Eddie fan. The Detroit Pistons and the Boston Celtics, Reggie Jackson, back to his 31 minutes, which is what we sort of hope for him to get, 24-2-6. So people getting a bit worried about Brandon Jennings' return. impacting Jackson. Yes, it happened in the first couple of games, but there were a lot of other factors. I'm not worried at all. Nice game from Jackson, but as I said, if you could sell really, really high, I might do it, but otherwise, I just love the production I get. Stanley Johnson, a nice double-double, 11 and 10 in 23 minutes. Not really relevant enough for 12-team leagues yet. KCP, 20 points, 4 threes and a steal. We know he's going to get big minutes a lot of the time. Andre Drummond, bothered by foul trouble in this one, just 21 minutes, 13 and 5. Season low rebounds for Drummond. Two steals, two blocks, so still helped you a bit there. Not his greatest performance, clearly. And that meant Aaron Baynes was able to play 18 minutes, and he went 6-6 with 4 assists. You're not owning Aaron Baynes in many spots, I'm imagining. Brandon Jennings, what did he do? 17 minutes, 6 points, 2 assists. It's really tough in a 12-team league for Brandon Jennings for me because the nature of the injury. 14-team league, yes, but there's going to be a lot of these nights sprinkled in. Marcus Morris, I don't reckon he's a must-hold in 12-team leagues. He plays a stack of minutes and he does nothing. 8-6, no other stats. He requires such bulk minutes to get anything happening, and he's just not good enough to demand 37 minutes a game for the rest of the season, I don't think, anyway. Look, Stan Van Gundy probably loves him and probably wants him out there big minutes, but I think that Stanley Johnson's just going to have to cut into these minutes at some point during the year. Marcus Morris over the last 2 weeks is ranked 255th. He's not giving you a positive contribution in anything outside of his free throw percentage in that time, and even that is something that's never been a real positive throughout his career. If there's someone else there that you really need to grab, you can move on from Marcus Morris. On the Celtics, are we seeing some common sense in the front court here? Don't know. Amir Johnson, 31 minutes, 16 and 11, 2 blocks. I own him in a 12-team league. I reckon you can, even though there's very little excitement in what he does. Although a 16 and 11 double-double with 2 blocks is pretty exciting. And Kelly Olynyk played 29 minutes, 10, 5 and 4, 2 triples. Olynyk has to be owned everywhere. I don't care. The minutes could change, and Brad Stevens is Brad Stevens, so any sort of shit could happen. But David Lee is out of the rotation. Fantastic. Tyler Zeller didn't play in this one as well. Just give Olynyk 30 minutes. Give Johnson 30 minutes. Give Jared Sullinger 20 minutes, 25 minutes, whatever. And let the best players play. Own Olynyk and definitely consider Johnson. Jay Crowder went 16 and 4 with 2 steals and 2 threes. His great season continued, and Evan Turner, big minutes for him with Avery Bradley out. 36 minutes, wasn't his most productive night, but 17 and 6 with a 3 and 4 or 4 from the line, and you'd normally expect him to throw in 4 or 5 assists as well, which he got none of tonight, a little surprisingly. He's a guy that has definite short-term ownership, while Isaiah Thomas, 22, 5 and 10, and a triple 1, a big night from him, but he murdered your percentages. He went 6 of 20 from the field, and he also went 9 of 13 from the free throw line. The field goal percentage is probably more realistic than the free throw percentage. Still, not a great night. Jared Sullinger, 8-2-2 in 15 minutes. Had a steal and a block, so he contributes in areas, but it's 2 games in a row under 20 minutes. Don't love that. Don't love that pattern for him. And Marcus Smart was terrible. 1 of 10 from the field, 0 of 1 from the free throw line. 2 points, no steals, no threes, and 4 assists. It's tough to own him in a 12-team league. His upside is there, but I own him in some 12-team leagues, and there are others where he's on the waiver wire and I leave him alone. So it really depends on the strength of your team and the makeup of your team, but the way he hurts your percentages is, it's tough to swallow, especially for a rotisserie format. The Raptors and the Nets, the Raptors with a pretty comfortable win in the end here, 17-8-6 for Kyle Lowry, added 5 steals as well, and Jonas Valanciunas back to being a big Jonas Valanciunas, 22-11, a steal, 2 blocks, massive percentages, he is all the way back. So Bismack Biyombo down to 17 minutes, 4 rebounds for Biyombo and a block, no value in Bismack Biyombo anywhere. James Johnson got the start. I hadn't mentioned this, Damari Carroll is out basically for the season. He's likely to be back at some point mid-March. He can be cut everywhere. He was almost cuttable before this injury. He's had arthroscopic knee surgery. He's going to be out a long time. You can move on from Damari Carroll. Now, do you go and add James Johnson? Probably not rushing to. 8-5 for him with 2 blocks. And Terrence Ross played just 19 minutes, 3 points with a 3 and a steal. If I'm adding anyone, I'm adding Ross, but not a must. You don't have to just drop Carroll and add Ross, but I would consider adding Ross. And if you picked him up, I wouldn't drop him just on the back of this game. This game was a bit of a blowout because you can tell that because Bruno Caboclo played a minute in the game. And there's a great sign that it was a blowout. Corey Joseph went 10-3-3 in 23 minutes. He stands to gain a bit from Carroll's injury. DeMar DeRozan, not his best night. 15-4-5 with 2 steals. Still contributing in areas other than scoring, which is always a big benefit from him. Luis Scola, 6-7. Patrick Patterson, 8-3. Nothing to get excited about with those guys. They're deeper league players. Brook Lopez's big year continues. 24-13 for Brook. A steal, 3 blocks, and 11 of 21 from the field. He is keeping this team afloat. And Shane Larkin did Shane Larkin things. And this is why he was someone that I looked to add. He played 30 minutes, 9 points, and I didn't add him for scoring. But he had a 3, he had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals. If those 4 assists and 3 steals are very, very valuable. Now, it has to balance your team. It has to work in the right way. But he can be, he'll get games where he has 5 steals, 6 steals this year. I'm sure he'll have at least one of those this year. And he'll combine that with 6 or 7 assists. And that can be really valuable. Yeah, I think that he's more likely to have a 6 steal game than he is to have a 20-point scoring game. Someone keep a track of that and let me know if it happens. But I think that's probably more likely to happen. And that can be really valuable. And I talk about this plenty of times in the preseason. 20 points looks sexier because 20 is a bigger number than 6. But 6 steals is that much more valuable. And he's got that ability to do that. But it's got to be balanced. It's got to be on the right sort of team. Can you afford a guy to be an 8-point, 10-point sort of guy? You might not. You might not be able to do that. Thad Young, 11-7 with a couple of steals. Not his best night. And Bojan Bogdanović, at 35 minutes, the minutes are going to be pretty big for him moving forward. 12 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 threes. And Joe Johnson, after a couple of strong games, he fell off completely. 5 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and a 3. That's more in line with what he's been doing this season. I can still understand owning him in a 12-team league, but I'd be pretty quick to pull the trigger on cutting him if it goes on for one more game, which is probably likely to be honest. Now, the Dallas Mavericks, a complete mess this game. Wes Matthews, Zaza Pachulia, Dirk Nowitzki, Darren Williams, all rested. So 4/5 of their starting lineup rested. And the one guy who was injured didn't. you can't see me on the screen, but I just shrugged my shoulders. I can't understand that for the life of me. Chandler Parsons left the last game with a hip problem. And he was the only guy that played. And he played 31 minutes. They got the win, and that's an indictment on New Orleans and Alvin Gentry. Parsons was really good, though. 21-8-6 in his 31 minutes. So Parsons owners would be pretty happy. Ray Felton owners, if there are any of those still around, they'd be happy too. 22-2-6, 3 threes and a steal. He was a pretty decent DFS play, as was Dwight Powell, who got 30 minutes off the bench and went 13-10 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. If anything happens to Dirk, Dwight Powell is the guy that I'm grabbing, and I think he's got tremendous fantasy potential. If you, for some reason, added him for this game, don't imagine it moves on too much further than that, though. JaVale McGee, after his big night, had another pretty good night. 19 minutes for JaVale, 8-6 with 4 blocks. That is coming into 16-team league territory, what he's been able to do at the moment. Now, with all these rests, Charlie Villanueva and JJ Barea started. They didn't do much. Villanueva went 1 of 10 for 2 points, and Barea went 11-4 with 2 threes. Barea is droppable if you were holding on to him after that Williams issue there earlier on in the last couple of weeks. We saw Jeremy Evans, Justin Anderson, and John Jenkins all get into the rotation and not do anything to indicate that they will stay in the rotation. On to the Pelicans. Tyreke Evans returned from his knee tendonitis, 16-9-5, 2 steals and a 3. Pretty nice fantasy line. Drew Holiday, 11-6-6 with a steal and a 3. A nice fantasy line. Eric Gordon, 14 and with 3 assists and 4 threes. A pretty nice fantasy line. But the team is terrible. They are brutally bad. To lose to a Dallas team at home after a double overtime back-to-back with 4 starters resting is terrible. Absolutely abysmal. Omer Asik, 6-6 in his 19 minutes with 2 blocks. Yuck. Don't like him as a player. Just why isn't Alexey Ajinsa playing? Can anyone explain that to me? Someone who watches probably more Pelicans than me, let me know what you think about Ajinsa because it baffles me. Norris Cole went back to being Norris Cole. Thank God. I was sick of talking about him being a good player. 28 minutes for Norris Cole. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 1 of 6 shooting. If you added him, fine. Maybe play it out one more game. But he's just not good. We've got 4 years of history of him not being good. And I don't imagine it changing anytime soon. Ryan Anderson had a bit of a stinker as well. 2 of 12 for him, 10 points and 3 rebounds. The Pelicans are terrible. They are. Alvin Gentry has made some terrible rotational decisions, some bad GM decisions in terms of signings and trades. Just the whole organization is just not in a great spot, despite having probably the best young player in the NBA. Denver and Minnesota. 78-74. Yep, that's not a three-quarter time score. That was a full-time score. Ooh, wasn't ideal. Kenneth Faried played just 18 minutes in this one. 3-7 with two steals. He's just not good. I know that I was singing his praises for his neck toughness and all that sort of stuff. Doesn't mean he's a good player, because he's just not a good player. 3-7, you have to still own him, but it's really brutal at the moment. Emmanuel Mudiay thought he was going to return. He didn't, so Jameer Nelson got a start. 6 points, 2 threes, and 3 assists in 20 minutes for Nelson. Not his greatest night. There was a lot of, I'm going to say that for a lot of people. Will Barton, happy birthday, Will Barton. Not your greatest night either. 26 minutes, 7 points, 6 rebounds, a 3, and an assist. This is the Will Barton that I've known to come and love, come to know and love over the last 3 years. Not this stupid, souped-up, juiced-up Will Barton we've seen at the start of this season. He's going to have duds like this sprinkled in because he just isn't good enough to be consistently good, but I think that what we've seen this year is enough to convince me that this is more of the outlier than the other games. We'll see, though, I guess. Danilo Gallinari, 27-4 with 2 threes. And Nikola Jokic, 26 minutes for him, 4-5, 3 assists. He's still got the minutes, but you would imagine that 4 of those minutes transition onto Jusuf Nurkic, and he comes back to 20, making it a bit hard to own him in a standard format. Joffrey Lavernier out of the rotation. That's the way it should go. Nurkic, Jokic, Lavernier. That's the level of talent on those guys. And I'm a big Lavernier fan, but he's just not as good as those other two players. Darrell Arthur got himself 30 minutes off the bench, which is a little bit weird. 7-6-5, a 3, a steal, and 2 blocks. And we've seen when we know he's going to get big minutes, he is useful. But to predict he was going to get 30 minutes here and didn't really make a lot of sense. On the Timberwolves, they are just bad at the moment. I think it's 9 straight that they haven't reached 100 points. That is just not ideal. Karl-Anthony Towns bounced back with a double-double, 14-14 with a couple of blocks. Ricky Rubio, just the 9 points, 4 rebounds, 2 threes, 7 assists and a steal. So an okay night there. And the leading minute player on this team, Tayshaun Prince. Yes, Tayshaun Prince played 33 minutes. Of course he did. Why wouldn't he play 33 minutes? In a game where you're starved for offense, why not put in the worst offensive player in the league and play him 33 minutes? 6-3-2 for Prince. A steal and a block. So actually contributed in those defensive categories, but please don't tell me you're owning Tayshaun Prince anywhere. Nikola Pekovic returned. He played 16 minutes, had 12 points and 2 rebounds. 6-6 from the free throw line. Nikola Pekovic is not a good fantasy player. He is brittle. He is clearly behind Karl-Anthony Towns. He should not be picked up in 12-team leagues. Maybe a 16-team league, but that's really about it. At least it forced Adrian Payne out of the rotation, who is somehow worse. Kevin Garnett played 21 minutes, went 4-4-4. Cool. Gorgui Dieng. Now, with Pekovic back, it was interesting to see what they did with Dieng. He still played 27 minutes. Didn't score. That's not good. But had 8 rebounds, a steal, and a block. He's sort of drifting out of 10-team league consideration for me. I'm still holding him in a 12, but in 10-team league, his form has definitely plateaued. Zach LaVine, speaking of plateau, 17 minutes for LaVine. Just can't get anything happening at the moment. 2 points, 4 assists, and a steal. Real tough to own him in 12-team leagues now. His upside's not high enough. I'm okay dropping him. And Kevin Martin returned. What? Why? Why did Kevin Martin return? 16 minutes for him, 9 points with a 3. And if anyone says it's to showcase him for a trade, I'm going to lose my shit. Because you know how much I hate showcasing for a trade. If you don't know who Kevin Martin is, get out of the NBA. We don't need to see him playing 16 minutes in a terrible game to think we should trade for him. Sam Mitchell, admirable job taking over from Flip Saunders. Tough situation. Just not up to it, sorry. Shabazz Muhammad, after a 32-minute game, played 16 and had 7 points. He's just not... Yeah, I don't think that he's a real great fantasy stash asset or anything like that. Maybe if he gets to 30 minutes, but really, realistically, his game is a little bit one-dimensional. The Utah Jazz and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs destroyed the Utah Jazz. So we can look at their box score, and the minutes are spread all over the place for the Jazz. Rodney Hood played 21 minutes. Gordon Hayward played 29 minutes. T'Wall Police played 24 minutes. Do not read anything into this box score from the Utah Jazz. Chris Johnson had 3 steals, 2 blocks, and 7 points in 25 minutes. Do not add Chris Johnson. This game was a blowout, and yeah, the Spurs are out of control. LaMarcus Aldridge was out to rest.
Yeah.
Tony Parker had his hip problem again. He was out. So David West started and went 14-13-4 with a steal in 25 minutes. Imagine how good David West would be if he, imagine how good the Raptors would be if David West had gone there and played as their power forward. He's still obviously got it. He's great as a streaming option when Duncan's out or when Aldridge is out, clearly, but it's just not happening often enough. And my other boy, Boban Marjanovic, whenever he gets run, whenever the Aldridge or Duncan's out, he's like a Yusuf Nurkic. He's a fantasy point per minute, crazy value guy. 19 minutes, 13-7 with a block. I just want to see a game where he plays 32 minutes because he could just destroy my mind, basically. This game was so over. Ray McCallum played 25 minutes. Patty Mills is the starter, 23 minutes with 0 points and 2 assists. Not a good Patty Mills night at all. And what about Daniel Green? 11 minutes for him. 6 points, 2 threes. Not good. He had that one good game. Has not turned into anything from there. 10-team leagues. See you later. 12-team leagues. Yeah, probably not. It's just not working for him this year. For whatever reason. Could be any number of reasons. Charlotte and Phoenix. The Phoenix Suns won. What? Let's talk Charlotte first. Not a good night from them to lose. Some good individual performances. Nick Batum was out, and that's obviously a big issue for them. PJ Hairston played 35 minutes. Ooh, that's not ideal. 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 threes for him. Probably the first time he's gone over about 25 minutes all season. Jeremy Lamb, he was doubtful. He got upgraded to questionable. He played 7 minutes, and I put him into my Moneyball tournament lineup, thinking, okay, with Batum out, maybe he's going to get a bigger role. He played decent in the last game, and if he had had a decent game, I could have come close to winning that tournament. Jeremy Lamb instead had 2 points in 7 minutes. Remember when he was good at the start of the year? He's still solid, but he's not good. Cody Zeller, 13-11, 3 steals and a block. You know what I'm going to say, you have to own him. Kemba Walker, 25-4-6, 2 threes, 2 steals and a block. Another big Kemba game. Not a great shooting night from Kemba, but still a pretty good performance. And the main reason for Jeremy Lamb's downfall was Troy Daniels. Came in and had 13 points in 23 minutes with 3 triples and a steal. He is a deep league special only. Marvin Williams harkened back to the start of the year, 15-3-4, 3 threes, a steal, a block on 5 of 6 red hot shooting. That is not something we've seen from him much over the last month, probably. On to the Phoenix Suns. They changed their starting lineup again. I know you are super shocked, but they did. Ronnie Price, my boy, R. Price. That's a terrible nickname. The Price is Right. Into the starting lineup. Of course he is. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you play a guy who was out of the NBA 2 years ago and could only get minutes on a team that was as dreadfully coached as what this is, that being the Lakers? 24 minutes for Price. 9, 2, and 4. 2 threes and 2 steals. Do not add Ronnie Price. Mirza Teletovic, touched on him earlier. 19-8. 5 triples. 3 assists and a steal. In a 14-team league at the moment, you have to add him. And I'd be looking at adding him in a 12-team league too. Now, TJ Warren, after playing 20 minutes in the last game and scoring nothing, he played 37. I don't know what Jeff Hornacek's doing, honestly. I know no one really understands what Jeff Hornacek's doing, but TJ Warren went 17-3-2, 2 steals and 3 threes. This is why you have to just keep holding him. Same with Devin Booker, who went 17-10 with 3 threes and a steal. They were helped by the fact that PJ Tucker didn't quite have to play as many minutes because he did get injured towards the end, but he still played 31 and went 10-5-2 with 2 threes and 4 steals. All three of these guys should be owned, but what's going to happen? We don't know. Like, why is Ronnie Price playing? I don't know. John Lua, 24 minutes, 14-3-3, a block and a three. Bit harder to own him at the moment with him just not getting those 27 to 30 minutes he was getting earlier on. And Brandon Knight, the only consistent player here, 18-3-7 with 3 threes. Tucker, Booker, Warren, and Knight should probably be owned in, or not Knight, definitely Knight. Tucker, Warren, and Booker should probably be owned in 12-team leagues. Teletovic is a borderline guy. Chandler, Len, and Lua, probably not. Now, Chandler played just 14 minutes, 7-3, and Len played 14 minutes as well, 0-2. And they won. No idea why. I was about to really swear then, but no idea why. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Oklahoma City Thunder Zach Randolph, 12-6 in his 25 bench minutes. So he's back to that bench role. That one-off out-of-the-blue game appears to be just that, because Matt Barnes played 35 here. 13 points, 2 rebounds, a steal, and a 3. Matt Barnes is available in a lot of 12-team leagues, and it depends on who you drop, but I'm all for adding Matt Barnes. I think that he's got tremendous value. Marc Gasol had a real stinker here. 24 minutes, 8 points on 2 of 11 shooting, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. People hate Marc Gasol really quickly. Maybe throw an offer at his own and see what happens. Courtney Lee was also brutal. 0 of 6 for 0 points in 21 minutes. Jeff Green, flaky as usual, 10-5-4 in 25, and he is really tough to own in a 12-team league. On to the Thunder, Kevin Durant, 26-17, 2 threes, a steal, and a block. That's KD of old, and Russ Westbrook. You were hoping for a massive night, but you still got to be pretty pleased with 27-7 with 2 steals. Pretty decent performance there. It moved Anthony Morrow back to the bench, and he still played well, 14 minutes for him. Let's check on Campaign. What did he do? 18 minutes for Payne. 8 points, 2 threes, 3 assists. Nothing dissuades from my love of Campaign. Serge Ibaka, only 25 minutes for him. Not a great night, 7-5. Steve Adams went 6-5 with 3 blocks, and Enes Kanter, 9-8 in his 22 minutes. Kanter and Adams are more 14-team league guys for me. And Andre Robertson, 15 minutes, 3 points, 2 rebounds. He shouldn't be getting... 15 minutes is great. He shouldn't be playing 25 minutes. Morrow should be getting these minutes. Dion Waiters, as bad as he seems at times, should be getting these minutes. Payne should be getting these minutes. Waiters went 15 points with 3 assists and 2 threes. I know Robinson's a good defender. Robertson is a good defender. But the negativity he brings to the offense is just not ideal at all. The last game of the night, the Los Angeles Clippers and the Portland Trailblazers. DeAndre Jordan, 14-14 with 4 blocks on 6 of 7 shooting. Always going to be an opportunity for a big night against Portland, and he was pretty solid. Paul Pierce back in the starting lineup, and he had a good night. 17-4, 2 steals and 5 threes. Good nights are going to be intermingled with bad ones, though, and that's a bit risky for standard leagues. JJ Redick, 20 points with 2 steals and 2 threes, and Chris Paul, 21-4-19 with a steal. Really kicking things up a notch at the moment. Austin Rivers is playing better than Jamal Crawford at the moment, which is odd to say. Another big scoring night from Rivers, 16 points with 2 threes. He's taking advantage of Blake Griffin's absence. Josh Smith and Lance Stephenson were both DNP CDs. Don't look like they're going to be having any sort of role anytime soon. Now, I gave the dud of the night to Andrew Wiggins earlier. Probably should have given it to Terry Stotts, who incorrectly filled out the team list and had CJ McCollum as inactive. So McCollum was fit. He was healthy. Couldn't play. NBA rules said, no, you've signed him off as inactive, he can't play. So McCollum was out. He was a literal healthy scratch as he sat there in uniform wondering what the hell was going on. He was marked as inactive. Terry Stotts, not ideal. Mason Plumlee bounced back after a few games where he struggled, 19-9-5. Alan Crabb started over McCollum, went 11-3-2. He's not for standard leagues, though. And Myers Leonard just can't get a big enough role at the moment. 22 minutes for Leonard, 10-5, 2 threes. Probably leave him alone for standard leagues, I would say. And Ed Davis, after probably 2 or 3 lean weeks, had a double-double, 12-12, but he's only a deeper league guy. El-Farouq Aminu just can't get it done at the moment. 26 minutes, 9-6. A big game yesterday, but back to mediocrity today. In a 10-team league, I don't reckon you have to hold on to Aminu. I reckon you can move on from him. And even in a 12-team league, I was seriously considering dropping him today. And I made so many moves today, I can't remember. I might have even dropped him in a 12-team league. I don't 100% recall. Damian Lillard, big night for him. 27-9, 4 threes, 2 steals, and a block. And goodbye your field goal percentage. 7 of 25 for Lillard. It's always a concern with him. You pretty much had to punt that category to draft him. And you just relish in the other big numbers that he gave you. All right, that is it for that section of the podcast. I'm going to have a quick break. And then we're going to be back to preview the games for Thursday. There are 4 of them on Thursday. I'll be back in a sec. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now when you're someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street, and I wonder if I'm games on Thursday. And I reckon there's a fair bit of daily fantasy value, especially to look at with these four games. The first one, the Atlanta Hawks and the surging Philadelphia 76ers is the first game up. The Hawks are struggling. They've come off two straight losses to the New York Knicks. The Sixers are winning games now, which they weren't doing, obviously, to start the season. The Hawks are still favored by 9.5, and the total is 205.5. So maybe this one, look, the Hawks will probably almost definitely still win, but maybe it's a game where the blowout factor does not really take us too much away from DFS value. It could happen, and the Hawks have been notorious, especially last season, for sitting guys and limiting guys, so there's definitely a risk involved. But maybe the Sixers keep it a little bit closer, and the Hawks are going to be desperate to get a win, I'm pretty sure. So if things start off close and the Sixers are challenging, the Hawks guys will stay in. I'm pretty sure that'll be the case. For the Sixers, is Smith at 6,100. The salary's rising, but at 6,100, if he gives you 30 points, that's 5x value. He dropped 44 in the last game. He's got a 32-point average across his last five. The Hawks are not great at defending point guards. This is a nice matchup for him. Jeff Teague at 6,200. I don't know if many people are going to take Jeff Teague, considering the way his minutes have been limited lately. And again, if they do get up early, he might just sit and might not play too many minutes. So probably not a great spot to look at. Kyle Korver is a real tournament punt. He's at 4,000. He only needs to get to 20 points to have 5x value, but he's just not getting really anywhere close to that at the moment. So there's definite risk there, as there is with Bob Cove. Robert Covington at 4,400 is just mired in a terrible, terrible slump. I don't mind Dennis Schroeder at 4,500 because there is a chance that he plays some extra minutes in this one. He's only priced at 4,500. He could be a 24, 25 point guy. It is strictly a tournament play, though. I do not want to look at him in a cash game and think, yeah, that's worth a look. Paul Millsap at 8,500. There are better point guard, power forwards on the board, but it is a really tasty matchup. But the risk makes me a little bit scared in terms of that blowout risk. But he's been great lately, averaging 41.9. The other issue I have with Millsap is he had a slight knee problem. Now, he's fine to play, but if there's anything happening and the game is out of control, they won't hesitate to pull him. Nick Stauskas at 3,700. He's getting minutes. He's just not giving us any production. Whereas Al Horford at 7,400, I'd rather use Al Horford than Paul Millsap. He's averaging almost 39 across the last three. The matchup is easy. He's put up big numbers against the Sixers this season and last season. I really like using Al Horford here. Nerlens Noel at 6,300. Yeah, not too sure. Look, he's definitely much better with Ish Smith. At 6,300, can he give you 32 points? Yeah, he probably can. And his minimum score across his last five is 25, so that's a pretty good floor. So he's not a bad guy to take a look at. Kent Bazemore at 57. Yeah, I can get Kent Bazemore involved here. I think that he's a really good chance to get 30 points, so I think he's not a bad guy to look at. Jahlil Okafor's minutes aren't there enough. 6,100 for him, we leave him alone. And TJ McConnell at 4,000, he's getting really good value in limited minutes. Put up 31 points in the last game in 18 minutes. He's averaging 24 in his last three in just 20 minutes. At 4,000 in a tournament, I don't know many people will go that direction. He might be worth a look. Jakar Sampson, Hollis Thompson, Jeremy Grant, all those guys don't have really any appeal to me at all. The Boston Celtics and the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls are favored by 5 here. The total is 203.5. Joakim Noah will be back soon, but he won't be back in this game. He is out. Khalil Anik at 4,300. He's had two big games, hasn't given us great value, but if we know anything, and I sometimes know something, the Bulls front court, you get some pretty tasty fantasy lines. And Olynyk has 45-point upside. And at 4,300, we're talking 10x value. That's super enticing, like very, very enticing. On the flip side of things, Nikola Mirotic at 4,800. The Celtics against small forwards, they allow fantasy points quite a bit as well. He's got 45-point upside. He's had three strong games in a row now, and you'd have to feel pretty confident of being able to get 25 points out of him, which is over 5x value, and you know that he can go 30, 32. He can also go 10. But let's hope that this strong run of three games in a row without Mirotić back allows him to actually play 30 minutes and 28, 29 minutes and put up decent numbers. I like using Mirotić here. Bobby Portis at 3,900. Yeah, don't mind it because the Celtics do allow front court players to put up numbers. At 3,900, it's really cheap. He just needs to get 20 points, which he is averaging over his last three. But not using him in a cash game, I don't think. Taj Gibson at 5,400. He was massive in the last game. I really like using him here. And Evan Turner on the Celtics side of things at 5,700. Extra responsibility, extra minutes with Avery Bradley out again. Hasn't really converted into big numbers so far, but I think that this could be an opportunity. You think that one of these games he's going to put up something big, and I think this could be it. Amir Johnson at 4,400. You're paying 500 more only to get Amir Johnson rather than Bobby Portis. I think I would rather spend that on Amir Johnson with the way that he's playing and the minutes he's being given. He's averaging 30 points across the last three. He put up 35 today. I would much rather use Amir than Bobby Portis. Pau Gasol at 8,900 has been awesome. A 45-point average across his last three games. Yes, it's 9,000, but that's big, big numbers, and he's been pretty consistent with it as well. Isaiah Thomas at 8,100. Bulls point guards, not good defenders. This is a 45-point spot looking for him as well. He dropped 45 today also. And Jimmy Butler's in some pretty rare form. 8,500 for him. That's not exorbitant. He's almost a 50-point average across the last three games. He is definitely someone that you can build lineups around. Derrick Rose at 6,300. If it comes under 6,000, I'm definitely looking at Derrick Rose, but no chance at that salary and no chance against Boston. They just shut down point guards, and it is not an exciting situation for him. Won't use Marcus Smart. Jared Sullinger, not the minutes. As good as the Bulls' front court matchup is for him, the minutes are just not there for me, and yeah, plenty of these other guys, Doug McDermott, Tony Snell, I don't think we need to get too into looking at them to use. The Utah Jazz and the Houston Rockets, the Utah Jazz, the latest recipients of the Rockets bump. Ty Lawson is questionable with an ankle, and that meant that, not Patrick Beverley, Jason Terry got 30-plus minutes in the last game, and Marcus Thornton missed the last game due to the birth of his child. He should be back in this one. Jeff Withey suffered the Spurs, as did everyone. But at 4,700 against the Rockets front court, definitely look at using him. There is no Derek Favors. Trevor Booker at 4,300. The minutes have been really consistent for him. He hasn't really done anything lately. But if there's a team you're going to put up big numbers against as a power forward, this is the one. So Trevor Booker can be used in a GPP, I think. Patrick Beverley I'm probably avoiding, even though Lawson could be out. Clint Capela at 4,800. No thanks. Just not getting it done. Same with Terrence Jones at the moment. Rod Hood, just terrible against the Spurs, but it's Kawhi Leonard, it's Danny Green, it's the Spurs in general. Let's write that one off to being the Spurs. This is a nice matchup for him. He's at 5,600. He was destroying teams before that. Really like him. And I like Gordo as well. Gordon Hayward at 7,600. That's not a big salary. A really tasty matchup for him too. I think we can expect some big numbers. Trey Burke was a guy who actually played all right against the Spurs. He put up 28 FanDuel points. He's less than 5,000. If you're looking for a cheap point guard, there are definitely worse options against on the board, especially if he's going up against Jason Terry. James Harden at less than 10,000. Don't see that all that often. At 9,900, is he a 50-point guy? You have to think that there is a game coming up for him where he's going to go for 50 fantasy points. Not sure this is necessarily it, but I wouldn't count it out. He's not a stay-away sort of situation. Dwight Howard at 8,000, it just feels too expensive for me. I don't think that I want to go and use him. Hal Neto, Ty Lawson, Joe Ingles, Tibor Pleas, no thanks for any of those guys. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Sacramento Kings, a lot of injury concern in this game that we really need to pay attention to, so I'll give a brief overview. Rajon Rondo, if he is out, we're using Darren Collison. If Rondo's playing and his full systems go at 8,200, you're loving this one for Rondo. He put up 58 in the last game. He's averaging 44. It's a super option. If he is out, though, Darren Collison at 5,600 becomes almost the best point guard play of the day. Definitely look at him. The other injuries to pay attention to. Willie Cauley-Stein is doubtful with a finger. Well, I said pay attention to, but we don't have to pay attention to that one. D'Angelo Russell should play with his sore throat. Kobe Bryant should play with his sore shoulder. Omri Caspi is questionable with upper back soreness. Now, that has an impact on us. And Ben McLemore is probable with his back spasms. We don't care. Now, if Caspi is out, Marco Bellinelli. Now, I think Marco Bellinelli's got pretty good value as it is, but at 4,300, he's averaging 28 across his last three. If Caspi's out, more shots go his way, more minutes go his way, and against the Lakers, he becomes a great option. I think that if Caspi plays at 5,700, he's not a bad guy to look at, but just with that back, I'm always concerned that maybe it seizes up throughout the game and then it ruins your night that way. Kobe at 6,900, price too high. I don't think I want to use him. What about Boogie? He's gone up to 10,400 now, but that's still not holding him. He put up 57.7 average across the last three. He's 45.5 across his last five. I think that you have to use Boogie in a lot of sit. Now, there are some other good value plays out for center, like Kelly Olynyk, but Boogie's sheer volume is fantastic and hard to avoid, and going against the Lakers as well. It could get ugly for the Lakers. 6,100 for Jordan Clarkson. He's been giving you almost right on that value. 29.9 average across the last five. A floor of 25.9. A ceiling of 34.5 across his last five games. So he's really consistent in that level. Not great tournament upside, but pretty solid cash numbers. J'Angelo Russell, no thanks. Julius Randle, not a good situation between him and Byron Scott at the moment. But Larry, that means more opportunity for Larry Nance. And he's priced at 4,300. He's averaging 26 across the last five, across the last three. Power forwards do really well against the Kings. I think Larry Nance is a great way to balance some other big high price names in your lineup. So here's a guy to look at. Rudy Gay at 7,100. He's just a solid guy that should get you 35 points against the Lakers. So I don't mind getting him out there. And Lou Williams struggled big time in the last game, but at 5,500, we know he's got pretty decent upside and he can go for 30 points. He's actually averaging 30 points across his last five. So he's a guy that I would think would be looking to bounce back in this one. Guys, we are done for today's podcast, except, almost forgot, the DFS value plays of the day. At point guard, Dennis Schroeder, 4,500. Ish Smith, 61, and Isaiah Thomas, 81. Shooting guards, Marco Ballinelli, 43, Rod Hood at 5,600, and Jim Butler at 85. Small forward, Nick Mirotic at 48, Evan Turner at 57, and Gordon Hayward at 76. Power forwards, Larry Nance at 43, Taj Gibson at 54, and Pau Gasol at 89, and the centers, Jeff Withey, 47, Al Horford, 74, and Boogie Cousins, 10,400. Now we are done. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Basketball Monster is Bask Monster. And check out basketballmonster.com for all the great features, tools, articles, chats, comments, forums, all that sort of stuff that is over on Basketball Monster. Trade analysis, projected standing, smart tool, all that sort of stuff. Check it all out. Of course, hardwoodparoxysm.com as well has fantastic NBA articles going up each and every day. We are done, guys. Thank you, everybody, for all your reviews and feedback and support of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.